Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Good idea is a good idea, kinda. Over the years, we have seen certain concepts be a smash success in wrestling, so much so, after a while, a company will just try the same thing again, but with a different human being. Makes sense, the magic has been proved, but this is not how life works. So I'm Simon from What Culture, please do hit that subscribe button, and this is 10 WWE gimmicks that work for one wrestler, but not another. Number 10, the Ripped Narcissist. There's every chance the reason Rob Conway wasn't able to get his version of this over was because Rick Rude had already done it too well. There are other individuals we could mention, but the Ravishing One threw himself into this, right down to having some of the best airbrush tights in all of wrestling. If you didn't know what opinion he had of himself, just look at his crotch, which, naturally, he was always keen to wiggle. The key to this, though, was while he would brag constantly, he then backed it up. So not only did he look ridiculous, but Rude was awesome in the ring and often walked away the victor. So you hated him more because he did exactly what he said he was gonna do. That means you can't just wheel somebody out in the same position, which was the case with Robert Conway. He had the look, but WWE had no intent on pushing him, so he was just an idiot. His misplaced arrogance was eye-rolling. There are others we could throw in here too, like Lex Luger, Chris Masters, and EC3, but as the point has already been made, let's just move on. Number 9, Max Cady from Cape Fear. We should never do this again now, because Bray Wyatt did it oh so well. While WWE screwed up, that wasn't Bray's fault, and the gimmick was so good he remains absolutely beloved today. One of the best characters we've seen over the last decade or so. What's odd about this switch, though, is that this was actually round 2 when it came to the idea. While Wyatt was doing it in the 2010s, Waylon Mercy, way back in the 90s, had it down, right down to the colourful shirts. There's every chance this would have worked, but sadly injuries cut his run short, with the trivia part of this equation coming in the fact that Waylon used to team with IRS, who of course is the dad of me. Nope, not me, Bray Wyatt. Seriously though, just go and hunt this gimmick down on the internet and you'll see where the inspiration was coming from. Cape Fear was all over this and it was smart. It suits the world of predetermined sports wonderfully. Number 8, Face Painted Warriors. Another one that suffered because the Road Warriors did it so well. If you want to say that Animal and Hawk are the best tag team ever, sure, it makes sense. I mean, just go and watch the reactions they used to get. It's why wrestling kept trying this over and over. I mean, there's Demolition, Powers of Pain, the Blade Runners, the Master Blasters, but more recently in WWE, we went with the Ascension, and well, it wasn't ideal. It was going pretty well in NXT, because we all know how that goes, but after they were called up to the main roster, it became look at these Legion of Doom ripoffs. And yeah, it was, but that was the point, and these were dudes in your own company. I don't know. It left Victor and Connor in unenviable positions, and the writing was on the wall pretty early, because if you're treated like nothing, eventually WWE decides you're nothing. So it is one hell of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Number 7, Muscle-Bound Women. China broke the mold. We know this as it was pretty damn historic, and if you want to trace back the woman's evolution, surely it had to start here. I mean, why WWE took so long to realize that yes, females could lift weights, I don't know. But, you know, history is history. China got so popular too, everybody wanted a piece of this, including WCW, who introduced Asia, in the least subtle move ever. But in more recent times, it was Dana Brooke who took on the role. And do you want to know why it didn't click as much? Well, firstly, the novelty had worn off, but it comes down to how each was used. That old nugget again. Whereas the Ninth Wonder of the World was kicking men's ass and winning IC titles, Dana Brooke couldn't even get a story to run currently from week to week. No one vanishes more from TV than Mrs. Brooke. We barely barely even referenced that she used to be a bodybuilder, and to be honest, the feats of strength that this kind of character needs also petered out pretty quickly. Remember her tag team with Mandy Rose? Poof, it just went. There's always going to be the fact that there was only one Joni Laura, but still, you can't half-ass this stuff. Number 6, the white boy rapper. And of course, we are talking about John Cena. The Doctor of Thuganomics saved his WWE career, if you believe the stories, and fair play to John, he smashed it, the raps, the attire, that massive chain. People loved it. It was also the catalyst that turned him into one of the most popular wrestlers ever, so it stands to reason that WWE would try this again, but man, did they not get the magic first time around. You likely don't remember this, and that's okay, but of all the people, this idea was given to Jesse, of Jesse and Festus fame, seemingly forgetting that the reason John did so well with it is because he loved rap music and had grown up listening to it. And sure, maybe this was the same for Slam Master J, but boy, did we not get any insight into that. Not that we had any time to do so anyway. I think Jay turned up for a handful of TV shows before he disappeared and then got released after WrestleMania 26. It's almost like if you want this stuff to work, you have to at least try. Number 5, the guitarist. Well, this one went against the grain, didn't it? The usual way is you smash in NXT and then make it to Raw and get utterly lost. But this wasn't the case for Elias. In fact, most in WWE's third brand didn't get it at all, leaving him to start performing in front of bigger audiences and then all of a sudden finding his feet. Elias was awesome, for a little while at least. You can't say that this was down to the fact he would just shred either. Way back in the 90s, when everyone had to have some sort of over-the-top gimmick, Man Mountain Rock would come to the ring with a WWF-shaped guitar, and then he'd just play some tunes for the masses. It's a shame we changed his name, as he was actually called Max Payne, if you know, you know. But before we could even get rolling with this, injuries stacked up, and 8 months later, he was released. I tell you though, I would like to know where that guitar is. I would buy one, and I would pay good money for the privilege. Number 4, the crazy woman. I don't know, you tell me. But WWE has been obsessed with taking a female performer at some stage and letting everyone know they're crazy. Mickie James was one of the best, as she essentially stalked Trish Stratus, and AJ Lee was on another planet. She was great. With this in the bank, we were always going to go back to it, and we certainly had it in Alicia Fox. She would wear weird hats and scream for some reason. Never forget that Northern Light suplex. It was perfect. The problem here was that no one ever told us why she was nuts. She was just nuts. That's fine for a while, but before long you began asking questions, and without any answers, it ran its course. Fox would just pick random opponents, do something weird, and that was that. We don't even see Alicia on TV these days, and in fact I don't even know if she's still affiliated with the company, although she has been through some personal issues, so what's more important than everything I just said is that she's okay. And I really truly hope that she is. Number 3, the all-American babyface. Poor, poor Lex Luger. We've already brought him up once, but now he's back in a much worse position. This never stood a chance. But because Hulk Hogan had destroyed all box office records and taken wrestling to another level, as soon as Vince McMahon decided his time was over, he went looking for his next Hulkster. This was fine in theory, I mean it makes sense, but why on earth did we just copy and paste the entire gimmick? Who the hell knows? We did the same with Diesel as soon as he got popular too, but Luger and his Lex Express touring the USA left everybody cold, to the point even the powers that be scrapped all of the plans. Think of that! It was so poor we switched to Bret Hart and just hoped everybody would forget. It didn't play to Luger's strengths at all, fans felt like it was being forced down their throats, and thankfully, WWE would learn from this and never do it again. Yeah, right. This one is absolutely mind-boggling though, because again, Hulk Hogan was everything to wrestling at one point. You can't just find another body and hope that it all clicks again. Number 2, the amateur wrestler. Kurt Angle. That's who we are talking about here, and he is one of the best. Ever. It wasn't just because his in-ring credentials were so good either. Somehow the Olympic gold medalist took to the character side too, and within 12 calendar months was a superstar. WWE didn't get that memo though, so when Jack Swagger arrived, they decided to try this again. And sure, Swagger had an amateur wrestling background, was very successful with it, and had what it took to be a pro. We just shouldn't have tried to copy what we had done with Kurt Angle. But we did right down to the ankle lock, and to be fair, I was into this for a while, especially when he cashed in his Money in the Bank. But as usual, WWE overthought it. It took all of a matter of weeks before he was being booked like anything but a world champion, and so soon, that's how fans saw him. Can you believe it? I don't know again. Jack was just pigeonholed way too early and wasn't allowed to develop his own stuff. Then he was doing that We the People shtick. Number one, the beer swilling brawler. So this one is stupid. That's right, it's me being an idiot because of course this worked on every level. Stone Cold Steve Austin changed the game and the Sandman did in his own way too. The difference I want to talk about today is the way each one of them did it. Because while you could argue there would be no Rattlesnake without the ECW hero, you cannot overstate the impact Steve Austin had on wrestling. He brought in new fans and kept them watching too, and without him, there is no Attitude Era. I mean it as well, he was the centerpiece, he was the guy. Sandman had his successes too, and my word, it was lightning in a bottle, but outside of the ECW arena, I don't think anybody knew what was happening. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's the point. Stone Cold was so good at this gimmick, he exploded the industry. The Sandman was more of a cult character. It just goes to show how different wrestlers can do different things even with the same script. And just to spot the comments, I'd say Austin was the far more versatile performer too. It's a huge reason he did what he went on to do.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.